Good afternoon. And what I have to share with you today is still in line with where we are. But God has a friend, and we're going to call this one a real friend. And it's kind of different because they're all about a real friend. But I want to try to take this to another level, as the Lord keeps revealing things to me and I keep revealing them to you. So there are some times that God gives me a word and he says, I'll give you an outline later as you go forward. But this is one of those words where he gave me an outline, like literally in advance. So every verse I'm pulling up and everything I'm reading has already been given to me. But this last week, he just gave me a whole different verse and said, go from this. But now I'm back to my notes. And it's something interesting about the notes because it's like I always believe when I'm looking at the notes and I'm preparing my notes that I know where I'm going, only to find out once I start speaking that I didn't know where I was going. Maybe I had an inkling, but then he takes me somewhere totally different. And while you're learning, I'm learning. And I get off the message sometime going, wow, that was really powerful. And you guys heard me say in the past, God makes me look a lot smarter than I probably am. He really does because he lets us surrender to him. But then I said, probably not actually am because I am very intelligent and very wise and I am a genius. But God gave me the revelation years ago. A genius is a person who hears God and functions and acts when he tells them to. Usually hears them before everybody else and makes a move. It's things that you guys are doing now, businesses that you are starting. Ruth and Sophie now spoke to me yesterday about a business they're starting. I'm so excited about it. I was thinking about it all night. I didn't go to bed to 5 o'clock, not because of your business, but it was part of what was running around in my spirit. And Celine started a new business. Nellie's on a new business. It's powerful. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at how one day, if we stay obedient to God, somebody's going to come and say, wow, you're a genius, like that you did that. And you're like, okay, right? Because you just did what his spirit told you to do. And as a result, it's like, well, I just did it before you did it because he told me to do it. But what I want us to honor right now is in a friendship, are you listening to this? There's a divulging of information. So it's very important that we not have this fenced, guarded relationship with God that we have a tendency to have. God, I just call on you when I have problems, but all the rest of the time I do my thing my way. And, because I don't even want God to see what I'm doing right now because I don't think he would approve. Newsflash, he sees it. He sees it. He sees it before you do it. He sees it when you're plotting to do it. He sees it. So before you say it, he sees it. So might as well just let him in, open the door, say, come on in. So this way, at least you can probably stop me from doing and saying some stupid stuff that I shouldn't be saying before I say it, right? He's there. So in that revelation, I'm saying, well, God, since you already see me in my nakedness, God see you in the shower. I know you might think that's a private place, but he sees you. He sees you. There's no private place, right? I know that's probably a gross picture, but yes, on the toilet, yes, he sees you. I don't care if somebody don't like me saying this. I'm telling the truth. So what I'm learning is, God, I have to stop with this false belief that there's something that's hidden from you and it'll give you access to everything so that you can manage everything properly. So I'll say that one more time. God, I want to let you have access to everything, even my shorts, comings and faults, so that you can manage everything properly. The things that you push him out of, he's out of. Draw nigh to God, he draw nigh to you. You pull away, he pulls away. This is you. So with that, let's go back to my point. A friendship is shared information. You can say that. A friendship is shared information, right? Insights, understandings. A good friendship is a collaboration. So I begin to say, God, as your friend, I'm praying for and speaking and seeking wisdom, but then I have to give you access to all my information if I want access to all of yours. But he already knows all my information. That's not the point. The point is it willfully given? Because he's not a bully. He's not going to take it. Now, with that said, we went through this whole thing in John 15, and I will read through it briefly. I won't elaborate on it because we've done it for the past couple of weeks. Then we're going to go to Proverbs, and I want to show you something. This is my commandment. I'm sorry, John 15 right now. We're starting at verse 12, right? This is my commandment that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment, I'm reading from the Amplified, than to lay down his life for his friend. I want to make sure that one, that verse sticks with you today, verse 13. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his life for his friend. Then he says, you are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, so please stop calling yourself God's servant, because Jesus really said that you are no longer a servant. We're slaves for the Lord. Have you heard people teach that? God don't care what you think. He don't care. It don't matter what you think. Only what you do for Christ. Have you heard that? I heard that most of my church life. Well, now you can look those people in the face, preachers and pastors, in a very nice way to say you're a liar. But just find a very nice Christian way to say you're a liar, right? Because it's not true. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants. Watch this. I do not call you servants any longer, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. If you a slave or a servant, you work for me, my business is my business, and you don't know it. Newsflash. And you'll probably know it, but if you don't, Ruth now going into business. Celine having a business. Look at me. Look at the screen. Nelly, look at the screen. Kwame, look at the screen. Your employees are not your friends. Don't start bringing people on and thinking that they should have access to your business and everything about it and what you do because you get along and you laugh together and you go. They're not your friends. The servant does not know what his master's doing. Jesus just said it right here. They're not supposed to be all in your business. Are you listening to me? I've made the mistake of becoming too friendly with people who work for me. It never works out good. I digress. I move on. Message received. They're not your friends. Okay. I do no longer not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends because I have revealed to you everything I have heard from my Father. That means everything. What hasn't Jesus heard from his Father? Nothing. Well, Jesus just said, because I have revealed to you everything that I've heard from my Father. Now, I want you to make sure you hear this and hear this well. Stop this. God works in mysterious ways and we don't know what he wants to do. When Jesus is saying, I'm telling you everything I hear from the Father. There's only one thing Jesus said he didn't hear from the Father, and he can't tell you that. You remember that? Who remembers? Show of hands. Okay, good. So I get to teach the whole room. The day and time when the last day would come. He said, that's the only thing that's been kept from me. And I always wonder, well, wait a minute, if God has told you, God in the flesh, he's told you everything, what is it that, why wouldn't he tell you that? Because Jesus would blab it. Because he said, everything I hear from the Father, I'm going to tell you. And God said, I don't want you running your mouth, telling them everything that I don't want them to know. So this I'm going to keep from you because they're your friends. And because they're your friends, you're going to, well, how did I start this message? It's a sharing of information. It's a collaboration, it's a sharing of insights, is help however you can help. So he says, I tell you whatever the Father tells me. I want you to stop and meditate on that for 2 seconds before we move on. Jesus says to me, come on, take this in personal. Jesus says to me and tells me everything God tells him. And Jesus shows me everything God shows him. So I want to park this or land this plane right here. As you keep saying, I don't know what the Lord is doing, and the Lord works in mysterious ways and all that, maybe you're not a friend. Just a thought. Just a thought. Maybe he's your friend. But you're not his. Now, I am in a season trying to make sure all my friendship points are lined up because I want to know everything he knows. Hallelujah. So, I call you my friends because I have revealed to you everything I have heard from the Father. And notice he said everything that he's heard. You have not chosen me as a friend, but I have chosen you and appointed and placed and perfectly planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing. Listen now, you can bring, come on. Why did he choose you as his friend? So you can go bear fruit. How many of you have bear fruit since you've been walking with the Lord? And keep on bearing. So that means it's not supposed to be, an up season and a down season. And you're doing well, and now you're doing bad. And now you're bearing fruit, and now you're not. He says, the bear fruit. And keep bearing. Now, this is not to make anybody feel bad or anything like this. This is to make you aware of what belongs to you and what your rights are. And you have not because you ask not. And a lot of us don't, is receiving according to our faith. So we believe we're supposed to go up and we're supposed to go down. We're supposed to have a good season and a bad season and this and that. He said, a friend will tell you. Listen to the whole story with Joseph. Pharaoh. There's going to be some bad seasons. So when you're going to have these good seasons, and we want you to gather up enough in these seasons, so when the thin seasons come, you have all that you need. So, well, he had a bad season. He did not. Everybody else did. He didn't because he was warned in advance. The Lord will guide us and tell us. And there's things that have happened that has got me off in emotion. And I have to stop and be quiet and say, God, what are you saying? What say you about the situation? And what does he immediately come around and do? Gives me the answer that I need to show me. I got this. I got you. I told you in advance this was going to happen. Did I not? Yes, you did. Well, stay the course. I got this, right? This is what the walk is about. You're not supposed to be blindsided and caught off guard if your friendship is intact. If you're talking to your friend and your friend is talking to you and you being open and fully honest and transparent to your friend so that he can be fully honest and open and transparent to you, we should not be caught off guard by any trick that the enemy throws in our direction. And the people of God said, amen now. Amen. I heard you loud and clear. So he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you and placed you purposefully. Okay? He strategically placed you and planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing. That means from lost souls to growing emotionally and mentally in yourself. Well, I feel like I'm not getting out there preaching the gospel enough. Well, you don't even know it if you don't know what the good news is. Yeah, sharing the salvation message to people is powerful, it's important. But you have to be living the salvation message to share it. Sharing the words and your heart ain't filled and overflow. Listen, you ain't got to go tell, you don't have to, you have to tell people who's in love to shut up. Because they will not stop talking about that person. So if you in love with the Lord and you really have this friendship and relationship, even just a great friendship, you tell everybody about your best friend. But let me say something. I say this humbly, but I say it honestly. I know you'll talk about me a lot. Because I've been that friend to you. And you go places and you talk about things you do and what you learn and how you got what you got and things like that. And I know my name comes up a lot in your conversation. I meet some people who know you and they say, you know, I heard so much about you. And I usually jokingly say, I hope it's good, but I know it is. So this is my point. If you have that friendship and that love and relationship with God like that, you don't have to make yourself get out there and share the gospel. You can't help it. You're going to talk about the goodness of your friend everywhere you go. You cannot help it. So let's ask God to help us have a better friendship with him. That's all. I'm not saying you don't have one at all, but we can be better. How many of you agree? We can have a better friendship with the Lord. How many of you agree? Amen. 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 All right. So let's get past this part. Purposefully planted you so that you will go and bear fruit and keep bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting. Are you hearing all these good, positive words that come with friendship? Say that my fruit will remain. Say it. My fruit will remain and be lasting. Say it again. My fruit will remain and be lasting. Say it one more time from your spirit. My fruit shall remain and be lasting. Glory to God. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, I want you to brace yourself for this now. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. And I have appointed you and placed you purposefully so that you will go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting. And because of that, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I don't know how serious you're taking that. Well, you know, if it be the Lord's will. He said, whatever you ask in my name, if you're my friend, not if you're in your flesh, because you know, there's another scripture say you have ask not because you have not. You ask not and you have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. But he's saying here, if you're my friend and I'm your friend, I planted you specifically in a place to go bear fruit. That fruit remains, continues. Watch this. And I've done it for a reason. So that you can ask the Father anything as my representative in my name, and he gives it to you. So look at the balance here. I'm not asking in my flesh and my whatever, but I'm asking as his representative in his name, representing him, because I'm friendship with him and I'm trying to be on one accord with him. Well, how does that affect my business? Well, I have to ask you a question. Did God tell you to start your business? Did he lead you there? Did he put that on your heart? Did he give you that dream and desire? Then you can ask anything about it in his name. Anything. And he'll give it. Who's receiving that right now? He said, you gave me this vision. You put this in me. I know all of you guys. I know you're very careful and meticulous about what business you started and what God called you to. I know you. And that's why I'm glad to have a small family. I know your heart and your spirit. I know you're the lentil patch. So you ask God. Some of you are challenged to the wall to make you come out and say, no, I know this is God. Okay, then you can ask. Are you reading this? I'm not saying this to you. I'm not saying this to you to encourage you. It's right there in your Bible. You do see it, right? I didn't write your Bible, did I? You can ask the Father in my name whatever, whatsoever, as my representative, and he will give it to you. How powerful is that right there? This is what I command you, that you love and unselfishly seek what's best for one another. He says, you can't be selfish if you want to be my friend. You got to look out for each other if you want to be my friend. Everything you do can be for your own best interest if you want to be my friend. You got to have a heart for others like I have toward you. This is what's a friend, right? Don't friends need to have things in common? Did that speak to you so far? Because we're moving now to our proverb. But did that speak to you? Does that speak to anybody's heart today? Does this word so far speak to you right now where you are? Amen. 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 Now, go with me to Proverbs 18. And in this, I'm in the King James. Proverbs 18, I'm now at verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat its fruit. Now, death and life are in the power of your tongue, and they that love it shall eat its fruit. Now, the correct word for love it is indulge. So he says, if you use your mouth and you indulge in speaking life or death, you're going to eat the fruit or bear the fruit of it. If you love negativity, you're going to eat negativity. If you love stress and strife, you're going to eat that. If you like to speak life and you love to speak life, you're going to reap life. If you speak lack and sickness and poor health and you indulge that, he calls it love it, but the word is indulge, and you indulge that tongue, you're going to eat the fruit of your words. What am I saying? Watch your mouth. But it's not just about watching your mouth. It's about watching your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Trying to watch your words is the wrong attitude. It's changing what's in your spirit. Because what's in your spirit is going to come out of your mouth. No matter how hard you try to speak right, you ultimately going to speak what's in your heart. So say, Lord, change my heart. Make my heart better. That's where my Philippians 2:13 comes in. Not in your own strength. It's God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, energizing, enabling, empowering, and giving you the desire to do that which is right. So God changed our hearts is my prayer today, so that what comes out of our mouth is in line with what you have for me. And if I'm your friend and I give you full access to my heart, you change my heart so that the words that come out of my mouth, are you listening to me now, are words that breathe life and bring fruit that remains and it bears and it will not be taken away. Now, let's keep going. 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. Now, this is totally off the subject, but on the subject. I've always thought that means go out and find a wife and you obtain favor with the Lord. And that's not what it means. It means that you find a wife that God has directed you to find, or the husband. That don't mean just go take somebody because you're lonely, or just go get somebody because you just want to not be sinning, all these kind of things that we do in the church. And then we go ahead and marry somebody that we have not submitted before the Lord for his approval to find out if this is the guy. Because God will let you marry whoever you want. He ain't going to come down and jump up in the service and say, I object. That's not going to happen. He'll let you pick whoever you want to pick because you got a free will. But if you find a wife or a husband that is the assignment of God, you obtain favor with the Lord. Why? Because God likes you when you find a spouse. No, 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 no. Because if you find a person that has the favor of God on them and you receive them, you receive the favor that comes with them. Did I lose anybody? You're with me? Everybody with me? Who says explain that a little bit more? Okay. You find a mate that is not God's designated mate. A couple of people could probably give an amen here, but I won't ask for it. And that person brings to you whatever relationship they have with God. Come on now. They bring their mess, they bring their issues, they bring their gambling habits, they bring their lying, they bring their stealing, they bring their whatever their issues are, they bring those to you. You obtain their problems. And I know married couples where one is doing well and the other one is deeply in debt and they don't know it and they get married and then all of a sudden the bank is garnishing your check and you're like, wait, why are you touching my money? Well, because you, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so right now. That's your husband, right? But his debts are your debts, so I'm going to attack your money. You obtain what they bring. So if you find the wife of God or the husband of God and you'll find each other, then you obtain favor with the Lord because they bring to you what they carry. Are you with me? So all of the, and I say this and I put her on the spot, but all of this, you've changed so much and you're so mellow and you're so different is because of the favor of the Lord that's on Nellie that she brought to me. I obtained that favor. And she's obtained things from being with me that she didn't have before she met me. But she was very, very specific for her whole 24 years that she waited before God on what she wanted in a husband, biblically speaking. So then you obtain that when you find that person. Now, we're going to get off of that. The poor uses entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. Well, here's what he's saying here. Rich people got an attitude. They don't feel like they got to be nice. Poor got to be sweet and beg because they got to kiss butt to get what they want. The Bible is just so raw with it. If you really just read it for what it is, It says what it says. You know what? You know why you got to beg? Because you're in the place of being poor. But if you let me bless you, well, you're not there. You don't have to answer roughly, but you ain't got to take no crap, is what the scripture is saying, when you allow yourself to be prosperous the God kind of way. But then out of nowhere, like if you look at these, they look like they're bouncing all over the place. God, where are you going with this? You started with life and death is in the power of the tongue. Then you go to finding a wife. Okay. Then you go to being poor and rich. And I'm like, okay, you just, I was reading, I was like, God, you're all over the place. He said, no, it all ties together. Watch what you're saying out your mouth. Make sure you marry correctly. You don't want to be poor. And then he goes on to say, a man has friends. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Stop. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. If you want to have friends, then you need to show friendship. Look at me. Listen to me close. Listen to me close. Listen to me close. I'm bringing it home. If you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. And the amount of friendly that you show is the amount of friendly you receive. You must sow friendship to reap friendship. I'm not talking about now men. I'm talking about what we just read in John 15 with God. The level of friendship you commit to with God is the level of friendship you receive back. He would have friends must sow friendship. If you want friends, the commitment of friendship you give to God is the commitment of friendship you get back from God. If you only go to God because I want something, or I need something, I'm complaining about this, or I'm crying about this, or why ain't this happening? And that's the level of friend. That's not a friendship. You're taking advantage of somebody. You think they're a genie. How many of you don't like the friends or people you know that every time that phone ring and you see their name on there, you know they calling to ask for something? How excited are you to pick up that call? But that friend, you know, when they call you, they ain't calling you to get anything. They calling you to see how they can help you and be a blessing to you. Is there a way I can look out for you today? You look forward to talking to them. Even if they just call and you say, I ain't got no money to give you, but I'm going to pray with you. I can minister to you and I can share some confidence with you and help you build up. How many of you know? I've watched my Nelly. I watch her develop relationships and I've been paying close attention. And as she was saying about who she wanted to be in her bridal party, before she could say a name, I knew who she was going to pick because I watched the relationships. I watched the friendships. And in her culture, you're supposed to bring your family in and the family, and you're supposed to be cousins and aunts. And even if you hate them, you just bring them in because that's what the family do. And she was like, nope, you're breaking all that. I know who I want. And I knew who she was naming. I knew it before she said it because I watched the collaboration, the give and take. They're not on the phone giving each other money but praying with each other and talking to each other and encouraging each other and just being friends with each other. And I said, I already know who you're picking. I already know. It goes without saying. I already know. So, a man that has friends must first show himself friendly or sow friendship or sow friendship. And if you sow friendship generously, and just be careful with this, I'm getting philosophical inside and maybe even intellectual here, but don't call everything you do so in friendship, because sometimes we do stuff for people because we just want to feel or need to feel needed. And that's not so in friendship. If you so in friendship because it makes you feel better that you can always be there to help somebody because it makes you feel better about yourself, that's not what we're talking about right here. We're talking about a friendship that comes with an openness, a vulnerability, access to who you are. That's why I said your employees are not your friends. You're not. You may find a friend there, but overall, your employees are not your friends. So with God, it's a vulnerability needed to have a friendship. Come on. is a vulnerability needed to have a real friendship. You can't have a friendship unless both people can be totally open, honest, clear, and vulnerable to one another. That's a friendship. Who can find that friend? That's very hard to find in the earth, that person that you can totally trust like that with everything. I've, searched high and low, and Nelly could be, but I'm gonna tell you right now, there's still walls or doors that I have closed, like, well, we're gonna see that. Because life and experience has taught me to do that, and you. But I'm opening more doors, and that's why you'll see why you're a better person. Yeah, because I'm less guarded. If I don't have to protect myself from the one close to me, it gives me a freedom to be more at peace when I'm with other people. That's a word right there. I hope you caught that. If I don't have to be so guarded with those close to me, I can be warmer with the people that come from the outside. It's different. So you'll have her commitment to God and then to me to thank for the new, warmer kind of me that you love so much. Amen. Now, watch this. If you want to find friends, you must first sow friendship. And then he makes this. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I said, the end? Like, that's where you end the verse? Just, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Good night. I'm like, God, you can't just stop it right there. Break this down. Like, it's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And then he just ends the book. And I said, And one, I know you're talking about you. I get that. This is a segue into now we go to the New Testament and you're going to find out who this friend is that sticks closer than the brother. But then he began to give me this, and this is where I bring it home. Watch this. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This word, ahab or hab, in the Hebrew, is affection. It could be male, female, intimate, sexual, whatever. But it has an appetite for objects such as drink, sleep, wisdom, human love for or to God. Watch this. The act of being a friend, a lover, and a participant. Now, I saw that and I said, wait, what? And then it hit me. The word yada is an intimate word between us and God. Sexual connotation is involved in the word yada, not sex, horny human sex. Let's make sure we make that clear. We're talking about the intimacy that goes deeper than, I like you like me, we're friends. It's a marriage. It's a covenant. So when he's talking about there is a friend, he's talking about someone who is an intimate part of the deepest part of your soul, that it goes beyond a sexual thing. Men use sexual because that's the thing they relate to, but it's really about a oneness and a bonding that goes deeper than what your emotions and your mind can fathom, right? And he's saying there's a friendship with him. First, if you want to have this friendship, you must first be willing to sow friendship. And that friendship is one without walls. That's a friendship. That's a friendship without limitations. That's a friendship where I am totally vulnerable to you and you're totally vulnerable to me. So I'm going to bring it home with this. I want to have a new friendship and a better friendship with God. That means I have to lose a lot of walls. That means I got to put down a lot of things that I've built to protect myself from the world and God. That means I have to be naked before God and be okay with that. And that part right there is something that I guarantee you a lot of believers have a big, big problem with. I've spoken to married couples and I've asked them, just curiously, Do you invite God in your bedroom when you're in? Right? He made those things, you know, for that reason. You do know that, right? Yeah. Okay. So he probably know how to use it better than you do. So maybe you might want to let him help you out because he knows better. I know I see the non-married folk and stuff blushing a little bit and some of the married folk, but I'm just telling you that the person who made it knows how it worked better than you do. There may be some elements to it that you have not even experienced yet because you haven't let God get his hand up in that. I'm just saying. So the intimacy part is something that's crucial to our relationship with God. You know, it's no holds barred. God, you can have every part of me. I'm your friend. This, my body, the scripture says, doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. Whatever emotion, spirit, feelings, all of this stuff, I want a friendship with God without walls. What about you? I want a friendship with God that is totally vulnerable and open. What about you? I want to be able to know that God has access to every part of me and I have access to every part of him. What about you? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Love you guys.